Camelot. Camelot. Camelot.
It's only a model.
Shh. Knights, I bid you welcome to your new home. Let us ride to Camelot.
We're knights of the round table. We dance whenever we're able. We do routines and call the scenes to bookwork in bed cable. We dine well here in Camelot. We eat ham and jam and spam a lot. We're knights of the round table. Our shows are more mid-able. The many times we give and rhyme that are quite unsingable. We're off from bad in Camelot. We sing from the dire Camelot.
I have to push the pram a lot.
Well, on second thought, let's not go to Camelot.
Ma'am, sorry.
It is a silly place.
What knight lives in that castle over there?
I'm 37.
What?
I'm 37. I'm not old.
Well, I can't just call you man.
You could say Dennis.
I didn't know you were called Dennis.
Well, you didn't bother to find out, did you?
I did say sorry about the old woman, but from behind you looked...
What I object to is you automatically treat me like an inferior.
Well, I am king.
Oh, king, eh? Very nice.
And how'd you get that, eh?
By exploiting the workers. By hanging on to outdated imperialist dogma, which perpetuates the economic and social differences in our society. If there's ever going to be any progress...
Dennis, there's some lovely filth down here. Oh, how'd you do?
How do you do, good lady? I'm Arthur, King of the Britons. Whose castle is that?
King of the who?
The Britons.
Who are the Britons?
Well, we all are. We are all Britons. And I am your king.
I didn't know we had a king. I thought we were an autonomous collective.
You're fooling yourself. We're living in a dictatorship. A self-perpetuating autocracy in which the working classes...
Oh, there you go, bringing class into it again.
That's what it's all about. If only people would...
Please, please, good people. I am in haste. Who lives in that castle?
No one lives there.
Then who is your lord?
We don't have a lord.
What?
I told you, we're an anarcho-syndicalist commune. We take it in turns to act as a sort of executive officer for the week.
Yes.
But all the decisions of that officer have to be ratified at a special bi-weekly meeting.
Yes, I see.
By a simple majority in the case of purely internal affairs.
Be quiet.
But by a two-thirds majority in the case of more...
Be quiet. I order you to be quiet.
Order? Who does he think he is?
I'm your king.
Well, I didn't vote for you.
You don't vote for kings?
Well, how'd you become king, then?
The Lady of the Lake. Her arm clad in the purest shimmering samite held aloft Excalibur from the bosom of the water, signifying by divine providence that I, Arthur, was to carry Excalibur. That is why I'm your king.
Listen, strange women lying in ponds distributing swords is no basis for a system of government. Supreme executive power derives from a mandate from the masses, not from some farcical aquatic ceremony.
Be quiet!
Oh, but you can't expect to wield supreme executive power just because some watery tart threw a sword at you.
Shut up!
Oh, but if I went round saying I was an emperor just because some moistened bint had lobbed a scimitar at me, they'd put me away.
Shut up! Will you shut up?
Ah, now we see the violence inherent in the system.
Shut up!
Oh. Come and see the violence inherent in the system! Help! Help! I'm being repressed!
Bloody peasant!
Oh, what a giveaway! Did you hear that? Did you hear that, eh? That's what I'm on about! Did you see him repressing me? You saw it, didn't you?
Hear ye! Hear ye! King Shaviz the Terrible! All rise for King Shaviz the Terrible and the Knights of the Round Table!
Awe, 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 awe
something happening here. But what it is ain't exactly clear. There's a man with a gun over there, telling me I got to beware. I think it's time we stop. Children, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going down. There's battle lines being drawn. Nobody's right if everybody's wrong. Young people speak in their minds are getting so much resistance from behind. Every time we stop, hey, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going down. What a field day for the heat. Thousand people in the street singing songs and a carrying signs, mostly say hooray for our side. It's time we stop. Hey, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going down. Strikes deep into your life, it will creep. It starts when you're always afraid. Step out of line, the man come and take you away. We better stop. Hey, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going. We better stop. Hey, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going. We better stop. What's that sound? Everybody look what's going. We better stop. Children, what's that sound?
The preacher man says it's the end of time, and the Mississippi River, she's a gold dry. Is up and the stock market's down, and you're only getting mugged if you go downtown. I live back in the woods, you see, a woman and the kids and the dogs and me. I got a shotgun, a rifle, and a four-wheel drive, and a country boy can survive. Folks can survive. I can plow a field all day long. I can catch catfish from dusk till dawn. Make our own whiskey and our own smoke too. Ain't too many things these old boys can't do. Grow good old tomatoes and homemade wine, and country boy can survive. Country folks can survive. Because you can't starve us out and you can't make us run. Those women more boys raised on shotguns. We say grace and we say ma'am. If you ain't into that, we don't give a damn. Came from the West Virginia coal mines and the Rocky Mountains and the Western skies. And we can skin a buck, we can run a trot line, and a country boy can survive. Country folks can survive. I had a good friend in New York City. He never called me by my name, just Hillbilly. My grandpa taught me how to live off the land, and his taught him to be a businessman. He used to send me pictures
pictures of the Broadway night, and I'd send him some homemade wine. But he was killed by a man with a switchblade knife. For $43, my friend lost his life. I'd love to spit some beach nut in that dude's eyes and shoot him with my old 45, 'cause a country boy can survive. Country folks can survive. North California and South Alabama and little towns all around this land. And we can skin a buck and run a trot line, and a country boy can survive. Country folks can survive.
Were the devil. If I were the devil, if I were the prince of darkness, I'd want to engulf the whole world in darkness, and I'd have a third of its real estate and four-fifths of its population, but I wouldn't be happy until I had seized the ripest apple on the tree, thee. So I'd set about, however necessary, to take over the United States. I'd subvert the churches first. I'd begin with a campaign of whispers. With the wisdom of a serpent, I would whisper to you as I whispered to Eve. Do as you please. To the young, I would whisper that the Bible is a myth. I would convince them that man created God instead of the other way around. I would confide that what's bad is good and what's good is square. And the old, I would teach to pray after me, Our Father, which art in Washington. And then I'd get organized. I'd educate authors in how to make lurid literature exciting so that anything else would appear dull and uninteresting. I'd threaten TV with dirtier movies and vice versa. I'd peddle narcotics to whom I could. I'd sell alcohol to ladies and gentlemen of distinction. I'd tranquilize the rest with pills. If I were the devil, I'd soon have families at war with themselves, churches at war with themselves, and nations at war with themselves, until each in its turn was consumed. And with promises of higher ratings, I'd have mesmerizing media fanning the flames. If I were the devil, I would encourage schools to refine young intellects, but neglect to discipline emotions. Just let those run wild. Until before you knew it, you'd have to have drug-sniffing dogs and metal detectors at every schoolhouse door. Within a decade, I'd have prisons overflowing. I'd have judges promoting pornography. Soon I could evict God from the courthouse, then from the schoolhouse, and then from the houses of Congress. And in his own churches I would substitute psychology for religion and deify science. I would lure priests and pastors into misusing boys and girls and church money. If I were the devil, I'd make the symbol of Easter an egg and the symbol of Christmas a bottle. If I were the devil, I'd take from those who have and give to those who wanted until I had killed the incentive of the ambitious. What'll you bet? I couldn't get whole states to promote gambling as the way to get rich. I would caution against extremes in hard work, in patriotism, in moral conduct. I would convince the young that marriage is old-fashioned, that swinging is more fun, that what you see on TV is the way to be. And thus I could undress you in public, and I could lure you into bed with diseases for which there is no cure. In other words, if I were the devil, I'd just keep right on doing what he's doing. Paul Harvey. Good day.
In constant sorrow all through his day. Trouble all my days.
place where I was born and raised. The place where he was born and raised. For 6 long years I've been in trouble. No pleasure here on earth I found. I'll die upon this train.
Perhaps he'll die upon this train.
You can bury me in Sunbeam Valley. For many years where I may lay. Sleeping in my grave,
while he is sleeping in his grave.
Maybe your friends think I'm just a stranger. My face you never will see no
everybody, you're listening to the Knights of the Round Table. Old King Shaziz the Terrible here, sitting here alone. Guess all the knights are out wandering the land fighting dragons, which is probably good enough, I guess. Anyway, posted a link over there in the chat room, actually a couple links, one of a video and one one of a article over on IBC or IB Times or whatever, some website, news website out there. But if you click on that link and you go over, you'll see the picture that I'm talking about. Underneath the picture it says West Baltimore residents watch the scene of celebrations on West North Avenue near the looted and burned CVS pharmacies as residents demonstrate against police brutality and celebrate the decision to prosecute officers, police officers, in the death of Freddie Gray in Baltimore May 2nd, 2015. There's a whole lot to say about what's going on out there. The sign some individual in this is holding up, it says, "You want peace, I want justice." I can't even look at that doggone picture because the ignorance of the individual holding that sign up is just, it's mind-boggling. Well, you know, if you want peace, I want justice. You think about that. You want peace and they want justice, so they're going to go burn down their own community and attack the innocent just to get justice for something that they haven't necessarily got all the facts in on yet. There hasn't been a court case over it yet. It's not a done deal. There's nobody. They've been police officers been charged, but it hasn't been to trial, and they haven't been found guilty. Maybe they are guilty, and maybe they did exactly what, you know, everybody's upset about. But to burn down your own community and to stand there and hold up a sign that says, "You want peace, I want justice." It's sheer ignorance, because they're not going to get justice, and as a matter of fact, they're not even going to get peace after they have justice. What they're going to end up with is putting themselves into bondage even farther than they are already. Baltimore police have a curfew going on. 10 p.m. to 5 a.m. You can't be on the streets. The Baltimore police and the National Guard will be out there, and they'll be making sure that you go home at a certain time. Otherwise, you're going to go to jail. So counterproductive to what it is that everybody wants for freedom, which is to be free to go where you want to go and do what you want to do, as long as you're not harming nobody. They just ensured that their own bondage would get bigger. We put the Knights of the Round Table together quite some time ago, and we preached peace, hope, and love, and everything under the sun. We've talked about so many different issues on the Knights of the Round Table, in hopes to bring people together, you know, if not on this network, on other networks. And it's sad when the ones who are preaching hope are beginning to feel hopeless. It's sad when you put so much effort towards trying to bring a good message to the world, and yet you still see people holding signs, "You want peace, I want justice." In other words, you give me what I want, or I'm going to be violent against your community, my community. It played right into the hands of those who wish to bring us all under a one world government. The whole conspiracy unfolding before your very eyes. It is happening. We are there. We're at that point in history, to where the money men of the world, the global elitists, are making their move on all of humanity. And then to add insult to injury, you have supposedly leaked stories about an asteroid going to be hitting somewhere around Puerto Rico, somewhere around Puerto Rico, on September 23rd of 2015. And so you also have the stories of places like Denver Airport and all the underground bunkers and such, and these booms going on all over the place, and sinkholes popping up in the ground, and so on and so forth. And the behind-the-scenes conspiracy of it all says that their underground explosions are the booms that everybody, the mystery booms that everybody's been hearing. That these guys are blasting their way through tunnels. They're making tunnels. In the Bible it says that as it were in the days of Noah, so shall it be in the days the day of the coming of the Son of Man. Apparently, back in the days before Noah, things got pretty bad like they are here. and the fallen angels and the global elite hid themselves up inside the earth in order to survive the coming of flood, the great doom, the wrath of God. So they hid themselves up in caves, and then whenever it was all said and done, they came out and they built their societies again and had their power structure and repeated the same old history all the way up to modern present day. So is this what we're seeing? The second go around? And the conspiracy theories further go to note that all these drills, the Jade Helm drills, the military drills, are basically to ensure continuity of government during a financial collapse and or natural disaster or so on and so forth. At this point in the game, it's only speculation. Nobody can... Nobody can guarantee what is the truth, because we've been lied to and manipulated so long. So, where do we go to from here, folks? What do we do? You know, we have like-minded individuals out here that want a better world for our grandchildren, our children's children, and each other's children and families. We do what it is that we do to try to bring about that dream of peace, hope, and love for the world. I can hear the storm clouds brewing outside. I didn't get some lightning and thunder. Hopefully my internet won't go down. My God, I'm just so overwhelmingly frustrated. It is so incredibly depressing to read the news headlines and the alternative media headlines. It is so incredibly depressing to hear people mocking my spiritual belief or other spiritual beliefs or lack thereof or whatever. The fact that nobody can come to the table and just leave each other alone. The fact that they can't just agree to disagree in a respectful manner and move on for the betterment of all humanity. It's frustrating. It's depressing. To see that things that will come to pass are coming to pass. I've spoken in the past about a dream that I've been having for so many years I just can't even remember. Nearly 30 years. Every night, 7 days a week, 365 days a year, when I go to sleep, I have the same reoccurring dream over and over. And essentially, to make a long story short of the dream, I'm wandering the wasteland of the apocalypse, the coming doomsday, so to speak. And I'm seeing things, and I'm feeling them, I'm smelling them, I'm hearing them. All the senses of this reality are transformed into that reality, and I'm there. I'm living it. So I'm thinking, how do I convey that to other people? How do I say, you know, look, if this is a warning coming to me via a dream, how do I say the right words in order to get people steered off in a different direction to go somewhere other than where we're heading? You know, the ultimate dream of bringing about a utopia, a heaven, so to speak, on Earth is an unachievable goal at this point. It's not impossible, but it's not probable either. And I would just settle for a happy medium, something like, you know, with the years whenever I was being raised, you know. You had your local bully down the street might beat you up when you tried to go fishing, but other than that, you know, you didn't have to worry about a lot of stuff. Be nice to go back to a time like that. You know, where there were dangers in the world, but it wasn't nearly like it is today, where little thugs running around. You want peace, I want justice. Really? What gives them the right to say, I'm going to go out there and burn down my own community because I'm angry that the police did something? Well, you're taking your anger out on the wrong individuals. You're taking your anger out on the people, not the police. Police don't care that you're doing that. I mean, it's job security. As far as the mainstream media and the governments go, so what? You're making them money. Nobody cares. Nobody but you. And the only ones that are concerned are those behind the scenes doing what it is that they're doing as far as these networks go. You know, they're trying to be proactive in a peaceful manner. They're trying to bring about some sort of real change. Something. It's frustrating. It's seriously frustrating. And I don't want to be the bringer of doom and gloom. I don't want to be the one having the dreams that I have. Because these dreams, to me, are horrifying. They're saddening. You wake up every morning with tears in your eyes. Because you don't want to see people suffer like that. You walk around with a sadness in your heart, knowing that in the back of your mind the clock is ticking down. I hope and pray that I'm just crazy. I hope that these dreams are just that. I hope that I'm just insane. It would be better for me to be laughed off the planet and saying, you know, you're crazy. See, you worried about everything. You're just paranoid. You're worried about everything, but and it was all for nothing. You know, kind of like the whole Y2K episode or whatever. I would rather see that, believe me, be. If these dreams do come to pass, you can't imagine. I didn't even think that I could imagine. And I don't want to see in this reality what I saw, what I have seen in those dreams. You try to put a little bit of nuggets of warnings, a little bit of common sense out there into the world, you know. Go back and look through the history of all the videos that I've posted comments on. Once in a while there might be a rowdy comment or two, but other than that, for most part, it was respectful. It was trying to tell people something. Because I do believe in the dream. I believe in a better way. I believe in the possibilities and all of what we have been given, the gifts from our Creator, whoever that might be to you. I do believe that we can do this thing. But I'm sitting there watching and I'm listening as the ticks of the clock go by. And I know that time is running short. Whether it be World War III or economic collapse or any natural or man-made disaster, I don't want to be a doomsdayer. I don't want to be a prep preparing for the apocalypse, the coming apocalypse. I don't want to survive during an apocalypse where I have to see other individuals, my brothers and sisters around the world, suffering. It pains me to think of anybody out there doing without. In a world such as what we've been given, the gifts, the resources, this beautiful, beautiful planet that we live on, to see anybody starving to death or dying over greed and corruption, it's like putting a stick in your heart and somebody twisting it around and every once in a while coming around and slapping you. I can't see it. I can't see the sense in any of it. Why burn down your own community to show somebody you want justice? No peace, no justice. And it's only going to get worse. Because now you have marches up there, open carry marches and stuff like that, that are going on, that are basically, you know, hey, don't tread on me. Which is well and good that people can exercise their rights. But they don't understand. They're playing right into the hands of those who are manipulating them. They're playing right into the game. And when it all comes down to it, I'm going to try to bring a couple people in. I can hear myself echoing, brother. Are you there, Steve?
Yep. I had an amateur moment there.
How you doing, brother?
Oh, I've been through my little bit lately for that. It's just a bit. How are you? I've long time since we heard of each other.
Yeah, and this is a good place to do it as any. We've got a long history between you and I of trying to do exactly what it is that we've been doing, trying to bring some common sense and good information to people around, and you working behind the scenes on your side of the network and me doing the same and expanding all of these other different networks.
Yeah, well, I think we're doing a good job to some degree. It's very frustrating, though, isn't it? You know, I was hearing what you were saying earlier on. I'm feeling the frustration myself, I must admit. And I apologise if my voice is a bit croaky, but this is the way it is.
It's all right, brother. We can bear with you. You know, just take your time.
Yeah, I mean, the frustrations that you're talking about there. And you know, the doom porn thing, you know. I mean, we've got to strike a balance. And I think you've got to know the bad stuff to, and you've also got to hear the good stuff to make a judgment call, I think.
Yep. And that is the key, you know. People need to be knowledgeable. They need to be educated before they make serious decisions such as burning down your own community, you know. I mean, they pretty much got what they wanted. The police are being charged in that specific episode. And this isn't just specific to this one deal. There's so many different things going on worldwide. But it's just in my community, not in my local country or whatever you want to call it. These are some of the episodes that are going. And when I see things like such as what I talked about in that picture, somebody holding up a sign saying, you want peace, I want justice, you know, it's counterproductive to what it is that they want.
Yeah.
Because all they're going to bring about is more pressure on the people, you know?
Yeah. Well, I think it's venting frustrations is a lot to do with it, and it's very difficult for people who, when they get frustrated, they'll take it out on anything, and that's what I've kind of seen, with the sort of videos that you posted earlier on. I think it was just they're venting their anger at anything that was in front of them, and it's very sad to see that people are going to take it out on each other, considering that. I think they're trying to make this a racial thing, but in my eyes, I don't see anybody want to harm anybody. It doesn't matter whether they're black, white, pink, or whatever. I don't see this.
Well, it's those up at the top who and in the media who want to stir the pot. You know, the controversy that sells advertisement and ratings and such. But. What these folks don't understand, and maybe they do understand, the mainstream media folks, maybe they really know what's going on, but what they don't understand is the same world that I'm standing on is the same world that they're standing on. When this entire system finally has enough and people do like what they did over there in that riot, smashing in windows and stuff, and when everything's all burnt to the ground and everybody's running around in their little gangs and shooting each other and all that kind of stuff, they got to go to and fro work in the same world that we are.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
That's right. I mean, this is why I think it's not a racial thing. It's trying to be made out to be a racial thing. But we all live in the same world. And, I remember when we had the student riots in London.
Yeah.
That the agent provocateurs come in and they basically started smashing the windows up, and of course, I hate to use this word, but they say the sheeple, they followed what these other guys are doing, then the adrenaline got up, and then they started setting fire to buildings and so on. And I think, it doesn't matter who you are. I basically, when I first spoke to Two Dog, when he was going to do a radio show, my words were to him, that we're all getting pooped on from a great height, some more than others. And effectively, I think the American people are getting basically taunted, I think.
I believe so too. If you're as a major corporation or company and you have an interest in selling a particular product, and maybe you're interested in some land in a particular country, and what better way to get not only money from your product, but to actually be able to buy the land for dirt, is to go out in there and start a conflict. Send somebody in there to say, hey, look, he stuck his tongue out at you, and he gave you the finger. You guys should go behind a barn and duke it out or something like that.
Yeah.
And so people, from one side, they see the other point of view, and they say, well, he shouldn't have stuck his tongue out at him, but that guy shouldn't have stuck his finger. Now you've got people, the onlookers, having controversy that they're not even necessarily involved in the initial feud. However, it spreads like the plague, and this is the trick that the global elite of the world, the bankers, the money men of the world, have figured out a long time ago. It is so easy to turn man against man. All you got to do is pick out my religion against your lack thereof, or vice versa, and bring it in there.
Yeah. Any difference that we have between us, they'll make a point of making it a difference.
Yeah. And that's why we've been saying what we've been saying so hard and so heavy for so long, is that we set our differences down because we see that there is a definite need in this world that needs to be addressed, and we're doing what we can, trying to bring people to the table. Because people think that just by talking about it, it's not getting nothing done. But it does get something done, because it actually affects me in my own personal life, that whenever I listen to what things that you guys say and you guys respond to things that I say, I do things in my life that maybe I wouldn't have normally done. I'll go out of my way to help some other brother or sister in need, in my local community. And so I'm making a difference, as small as that may seem, because of things that you may have said. You see what I'm talking about?
Oh, yeah. Yep. Yeah. I mean, it was always my thing when it came to the radio. That if I could change one person's attitude or mind or whatever, then that would be a success for me. And effectively, that remains the same. And that's what we can hope that we're going to make some kind of difference, really. Certainly for me, since Christmas, you knew yourself that I took out, I've kind of been looking for something positive on the internet to do with us maybe winning against this new world order, or something that you could positive you could put forward. And I'm not recommending these things, but things like Ubuntu and so on, you know, which are a more positive aspect.
Well, I'll tell you what, I'm pretty impressed with the Linux version of Lubuntu. And so, hey, there's a solution. It's free software, but
yeah,
you know, that's the key, Steve. There are so many answers out there. There's so many solutions out there. I've been told by other people that, you know, none of us are making any difference, that we're not coming to the table with solutions. But if you go back and listen to all the pods of all our shows, we've been pointing out for years solutions, such as Lubuntu or Ubuntu or whatever, you know. We've been pointing out alternative medicines. We've been pointing out alternative views. We've been pointing out, peace, hope, and love, and can't we all just get along kind of deal, you know?
Yeah, well, that's fair comment. Yeah, that's absolutely fair comment. The trouble is that we've been putting the suggestions out for some time, but it's getting people to be proactive with those suggestions is the problem.
Yeah, that's a big point. That is a key to the whole deal, you know. We can talk about this to all the people from all the different networks all over the world, but unless them as individuals actually want to get up and be proactive in their own neighborhood, we're not talking about going out and holding some sign up saying, if you want peace, I want justice, that kind of thing. You know, go out and hold up a sign and said, help a brother or sister out, you know?
Yeah, exactly. I mean, there's many ways, many aspects that we can do this. There's not going to be one answer to all. I think there's going to be lots of little incremental changes, and people will see the benefits, and then we'll come up with something positive. But I think that what we find, well, I'm finding, there's not as much positivity out there that's getting advertised, let's say, through the Truth Movement or the alternative media. I think that, I mean, for 3 months I've kind of tried to look for stuff, and there's not a great deal out there. I think a lot of our energy is pointed in the wrong direction.
Well, brother, you know what? I think that we are the positivity in the Truth Movement. That's it. We're that corner of the section saying, okay, we agree with you guys, there's a problem in the world, but hey, you know, we got to work together, you know?
Yeah. Well, that's it. Well, that's why we all came together at the radios, isn't it? Is to each and get the message out and be as positive in it and seek solutions as much as we can. I know that's an old phrase, but nonetheless, it's
it works.
Yeah.
It's true.
Yeah.
You know, and it's just, like I say, I get frustrated, Steve, because we have been given such a wonderful opportunity. You know, we could defeat evil. Literally, we could defeat it. Period. You know, there's no power in this world stronger than love.
Yeah.
Right? And if we could just get that across to everybody's head that they're not helpless. They have the power to go over and smile on a brother instead of giving them the finger or something, you know? And what sense does it make if you're angry at somebody, you go over and smash somebody else's stuff, because now you're not just angry, but they're angry. They just, you know, they worked hard to get that vehicle that the window got busted out of or stomped on or whatever.
Yeah.
And now you took your anger and you spread it. Now everybody's getting mad.
Yeah. I mean, this is a common thing throughout the world. I mean, we see this with the Israeli-Palestine thing. You know, they're all these drones taking people out, and they're just making whole families, rebel against who killed their families, and it has to stop somewhere. you know.
You're right, brother. That's another key point is until people break those chains. I understand that in every single heritage, including my own, that there have been atrocities, there have been tragedies on both sides of the fence. There have been terrible things that mankind has done to each other throughout history. But we're living in the here and now. And we need to go from here, and we need to start paving the stones that take us away from things like that. And not to forget the tragedies of the past, because if you forget the past, then you're going to repeat it. You're going to do it over again.
Yeah, of course.
You only got to stick your finger in the fire one time to understand that it hurts and it burns.
Yeah.
You know, if you do it a second time, then you know it's something questionable about your intelligence.
Yeah. I mean, we're going back to what we were saying there about the, you know, the Israel and Palestine and various other things. I mean, I have experience of the Northern Ireland conflict and about dividing people, you know, the Catholic Protestant thing, if you like. And I mean, it's really nothing to do with religion whatsoever. But it just shows you how much of a, you know, in a little space, a little area, I mean, Northern Ireland's tiny, really. And you know, you had people and families killing each other, and all it did was spread hatred and more hatred and more hatred, and you had bombs going off in different places. I mean, people couldn't go into shops without getting searched with their handbags to make sure they didn't have a bomb in the handbag. And eventually the people grew so tired of it that there had to be peace. But it was only peace on their terms. They really wanted the British Army to go and fight elsewhere. Otherwise, that conflict would still be continuing, in my opinion.
Yeah.
So, sorry, just to finish here. So this goes on all over the world. No matter if you're a big country or a little country, you know, and it doesn't matter where you're what color you are either. Sorry.
No, you're right. You're dead on. You can't be the one little tiny spot in the world, and it's not just that side of the world. It's all over. It's happening in all nations out there. People stirring the pot, and you know, anger breeds anger, and hate breeds hate, and negativity breeds negativity, and so on and so forth. We go on forever and a day. You know, there is a dark side and there's a light side.
Yeah.
We're trying to get everybody to, hey, you know, come out the darkness for a bit and check out what we're doing over here. You know, we're having a family barbecue, and neighbors or friends are welcome, you know. And in our minds, Steve, it's simple. It's a simple solution. Obviously, you know, the world didn't get in the mess that it is overnight. And to clean up the mess that has been created on this beautiful planet is going to be a chore. It's going to be an epic chore. Together, all of us can do it. But it's getting people up off the picnic table and to pick up a rake or a shovel or a broom or a trash bag or something and to actually do it is the key.
Yeah, absolutely. And then for me, when I became awakened, you had a picture of what I wanted to do. And I mean, you know, I have this small hole in here and did a bit growing, and because of my health now, it's not so good. But there's something in the way of that. But I kind of foresee it as this, foreseen it as this. That, you know, obviously I realised we had to get good food, so it was growing, so that meant they get a bit of land. So we got a bit of land and that, and it worked out great. And I've mentioned a bit more this morning, and you know, it's a very good landlord and cheap money, and you know, we have chickens and stuff like that. So we've slowly built up over the period of time, and hopefully we're looking to sell a few eggs and try and get a farmer's market going. You know, and we also have a spare field as health permitting. I'm going to try and get something going with some allotments and so on, and try and build a community affair. And really, I think that if we can do the towns, you know, and get them to where they have a when people look at them and think, oh, that's rather good, I would like to try that, I think that's when we bring all the little towns together and small cities and things like that, and eventually go into the big cities. That's where I think that it comes. And I'd just like to give you a wee story about a place called Wirgo in Austria. I'm not going to the whole story, but effectively they did their own currency, and because they were in depression and stuff like that. And it was so successful that something like, I think it was 100 towns around them decided to do the same thing. And eventually the government came in and the banks came in and said, oh, you can't do that anymore. And so that type of thing, really, if we can show people that works, that's the way to go, I think.
I think you're right. You know, the other Steve and me are talking about, and we're actually working towards building a system to where you can actually grow food inside your house using the proper lighting and stuff like that. You know, other people use it for nefarious means, but we're working on an energy efficient way by which you could do it even if the power grid went down. You know, and so those are just little ideas out there, and they're not going to solve all the issues of the world, but you know, if things did go the way of let's say the newest leak of supposedly a asteroid hitting somewhere around I can't even remember now. Yeah, either way, it's supposed to be hitting around the September 23rd or 24th, 2015, according to the story out there. Now, I'm not saying that's going to happen or whatever. I don't know, because right now everything is speculation as far as what's really going on in the world, whether it be a financial collapse or a natural disaster or what, man-made or whatever. But we can obviously see by all the chatter going on around through the mainstream media, through the alternative media, and some of just the flat-out nutcases of the world, that our problems aren't limited to our own backyard, so to speak. So worst case scenario, something did come down, I would want at least people to be able to be prepared enough to have some food to feed their children, you know, because if you plan for a disaster before the disaster and your neighbors are under the same like mind, there's no reason for your neighbor to come over and beat you up and steal your food, because he has his food, and he knows that if there's a problem with his food, that you would share what you got. You know, that kind of mentality is what we share here on these networks.
Yeah. I had a friend who once said to me that he couldn't wait for the collapse to happen. And we were happened to be growing in a fairly big field and so on. And I said, are you sure about that? And I said, yeah, it would be great. You couldn't go back to how it used to be, sort of thing. And I says, well, okay, you've got this field here. And I says, I have my family to provide for, my partner's family to provide for, you've got your mum and your family to provide for. And I says, you know, that's going to be limited. And somebody comes down the lane there, and you're going to be able to refuse them food. And he kind of thought of it, and after a while, I think it dawned on him that this couldn't be so nice, you know. And I think the attitude really when it comes to that is to give people the food, you know, even if you can't afford to do that.
Stephen Gibbons put a couple comments in the chat room over on the Shaziz radio side, said, oh great, more fear porn, laugh out loud. And then he also put, I thought we were planning for the coming utopia. Well, brother, I'm not trying to fear porn anybody, and my dream is the coming utopia. My dream is that everybody wakes up with some common sense, you know, and tries to be proactive and tries to do something. I don't like all these doomsday conspiracies. Yeah. I don't enjoy waking up in the morning and checking my subscriptions and on my YouTube and seeing all the negative headlines. I mean, I could read off a ton of things that are just so disturbing, you know, that people are saying are going on in the world.
Absolutely.
It talks about in my book of faith that in the last days there'd be wars and rumors of wars and plagues and famine and pestilence, and I don't even like to hear it from that.
Yeah.
You know, that's not where my heart lays. Anybody who knows me knows that I'm not one of those guys that wants to go around scaring the crud out of everybody and depressing everybody. I'm just saying that in Baltimore, when you got individuals holding up a sign that says, you want peace, I want justice, well, you know, they're not going to get either by the method what you're doing. And where are the spiritual leaders? Where are the community leaders out there saying, look, brother, that's the kind of wrong message you want to be putting out there, because you're telling people that you don't give me what I want, I'm going to get violent. And that's exactly what the elitist of the world, if there is a one world conspiracy to create a one world government and move us all under that system, that would play right into their hands. That would give them exactly the reasoning for martial law and everything. We got to protect you for your safety. We've got to have this this deal where you can't be out after 10. We got to have a curfew. You can't be out after 10 p.m. and you have to be you got to stay in until at least 5 a.m.
Yeah.
Where is the freedom in that?
There isn't.
No, and they're not only just giving it away, they're giving it to them on a silver platter. Here, police, here, government, here, global elite, take my freedom and my rights. Okay?
Give them good reason. Yeah. Yeah.
You know, if it was you and I, we'd be the ones on the other side of the road trying to calm everybody down. Hey, can't we all just get along? Come on, man. Doesn't tear up your own property just to try to prove a point. You're not proving nothing. You're not doing it. You're not making anything good out of this. You're making a mess.
Yeah. Well, just a point that I was going to make before you mentioned it, Steve Kipp. He's got integrity's opinions, and that's okay. But since 2008, I've noticed, since about the 10th month onwards, we get all the doom porn coming through. I think whenever, you know, the summer's ended, we're into the autumn, the next thing you get is, oh, the currencies are going to fail, America's going to go bust, or Greece going to go bust, or next thing there's going to be the swine flu, or, you know, there's always a tirade of negative doom porn. And I've watched this every year. Now, you can't really turn around and say, well, just ignore it all, because it's just like that every year. You certainly got to pay attention. But I think this is done to hold our attention away from the things that we should be doing, the more positive things.
I agree, such as coming to the table and working out solutions. I mean, in the alternative energy community, I see it all the time. There's people will come out there, and I've got videos that there's absolutely nothing wrong with the video. I mean, it's just information for people. And people come by and they cuss me out and they thumb it down, tell me how stupid I am. But they never put anything in there that says, hey, look, this is probably not right here. If you change this, maybe it'll work better. Why don't you try that, you know? Those are the kind of people that I want to talk to. Those are the kind of comments that I'd like to get, is that people are using their mind to be creative, you know, what's the phrase I'm looking for, instead of destructive, constructive, so to speak.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I think there's enough constructive minds out there that have the way forward, but, you know, they won't allow a lot of things to come forward, obviously, but we've just got to see past that, and we've just got to keep being constructive and forgetting the negative.
Yeah, I think you're right, Steve. And one of the things that, you know, we've said this once or twice, you and me both have been down the road to where we were almost ready just to give up. You know, we were almost ready just to walk away because it just seemed so overwhelming. And if it hadn't been for one of the other, you know, being there as a friend and, somebody to listen to and, you know, have their back, one of the two of us would already be gone. Would you disagree?
I wouldn't disagree, no. I mean, we'll have our high moments, and we'll have our low moments.
But that's part of the process, and we're still here, Steve. After all these years, you and I are still going.
Yeah. Well, I think we know deep in our hearts it's the right thing to do. And, you know, we can only keep on putting our energy into it as long as we have that to expend. And it's certainly not an easy path.
We're no saviors of the world. We're just common people, just like everybody else out there, who believe in the dream of bringing a better world. And we're doing something, not just talking about it. We're doing what we can.
Yeah, yeah. Well, at least we're giving people the opportunity to come to air to say their piece.
Yeah, and it's not easy to hold a platform together for that, you know.
No, I appreciate all the hosts that come on Awake Radio when she says radio. Well, 1800 line and Turtle Island News. I'm just going to go through the list, DCT, and people don't realize how much kind of work is involved, and I appreciate every host that comes on here. It's not easy.
And the feeling's mutual on this side as well. I mean, you know, those folks out there, I can't say enough about them, because, you know, none of them's getting paid for what they're doing. They're doing it out of the goodness of their heart, and, you know, some of them can't physically get out there in the community, but they have brilliant minds, and they say what's on their heart, and they bring some sort of hope and ideas and solutions, and they keep the conversation going in a good manner, you know? It's... anybody can run in a crowded theater and shout fire, Steve.
Yeah, that's true.
we're not trying to shout fire in a crowded theater. We're just trying to calmly go in there and say, look, you know, something's not right here. You guys might want to keep your eyes peeled, and if things get awry, there's a good safe exit right there, and we can all help each other out. That kind of deal. It's kind of hard to keep calm in the midst of a storm that is continuously trying to kick your butt, so to speak.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, that's where the highs and lows come in, don't they? And sometimes it grinds you down, and then other times you just see a little ray of hope on the horizon. You see a smile on a child's face or something like that, and then that lifts you up again, and away you go. And I think it'll always be like that. I think the way we get some kind of change.
Well, I think at the center of the whole deal is the driving force between what's going on, what keeps us motivated is love. And if we didn't have love for our brothers and sisters around the world and concern for everybody else, why would we even bother with what we do?
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Well, I've had a bit of stick for this comment before. But, I mean, as far as I'm concerned, the family is the first stage of division, you know?
Yeah.
All is for fun.
And if you can break up and divide the family, then you can pretty much, you can do what you want.
Yeah, yeah. And that's where it comes down to. You know, you're talking about loving each other as it is, and, you know, respect and honour, you know, each other. If we do that, which is difficult because... we've been so indoctrinated with so many things over the years that it'll take maybe a generation to change things. But we'll have to start now. It's as simple as that. Because I think things are a bit close.
And brother, that's why I don't force my views on anybody, because I understand the fact that over the time of my lifetime, I've been lied to and I've been told things that might not necessarily be true, and in the end of it might turn out to not be true. However, I've taken everything that I've learned and all the things I've seen in my life, and I try to lead my life by example in hopes that my beliefs are correct, and you know, my spiritual beliefs anyway, you know, that and we could make this world a better place. And so it's not going to be productive of me to go out there just because I see somebody who has a totally opposite opinion of mine and start telling them how stupid they are. They're not going to come around to my way of thinking by me trying to tell them, you know, you're an idiot for believing like that. I'm just going to live my life with the things that I believe are true, and I'm going to try to do the best I can under a bad situation in hopes for the best. That's all I can do.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I mean, you're talking about the original side of it. Buddhism not about religion? You are when they're vaccinating your kids and giving them beds and things.
Yeah, so, you keep your own spiritual beliefs, but we both have to agree that, look, that's not right what they're doing to those children. We got to fix that.
Yeah.
You know, we can come to the table on that.
Yeah.
We don't have to agree, you know, who is or isn't God. We can sit here and try to do what we can to try to make the world a better place, and we'll sort the rest of it out in life, you know, things. You know, in the end, we're all going to know one way or another whether there is or isn't anything after. It'll come to pass, and we'll find out who was right and who was wrong. But in the meantime, this rock we're living on, this beautiful planet that we call Earth, we're all on this thing together. When the ship goes down, it's all hands on board. It's not just the one side or the other. It's every man, woman, and child on there that's going to go down.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
And that's why I am the way I am, Steve. I'm, you know, like I said, I ain't no savior of the world. I'm just a man with an idea and I see things in a different way. I just want people to try to look at life just a little bit different than what they do, you know. I can't force it on them.
But it is difficult, you know. I mean, I understand, you know, what's happening with Baltimore and people's frustrations and so on. And of course, when you've been to a school that's indoctrinated you to think in a certain way, respond in a certain way, then it's understandable that's the reaction that they've got. It's quite amazing, I think, because the American people have resisted so many of these events, if you like, and they've been actually rather placid and calm with it. And I think, you know, you've been niggled and niggled and niggled. But I think you've done really remarkably well up to this point to be so restrained.
Yeah, well, all things considered, we're not in a civil war yet.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. You know, but I think the key does arrive. I do believe the key is America. Obviously, the guns are the thing. I think if you didn't have the guns in, I think it would be a case that they would just go and do what they want to do. I really feel that because the guns are there, they have to basically get the guns off you first.
Well, I agree. I feel like we're the last beacon of hope as far as freedom goes, because, you know, without that driving force behind why they don't come in and just directly attack us, you know, I'm not a violent individual unless I absolutely have to be.
Yeah.
But if we didn't have our Second Amendment and even our First Amendment in our Constitution, I mean, a lot of folks say, well, that's just a piece of paper, it ain't worth nothing. It is worth something. It's worth something to people like me who say, you know, whether it's a government or not, they signed a contract with the people saying that they would work for the people. And so with or without those, you know, if we lose any of those two right there, we lose this country. And when we lose this country, it's not going to be we the people that are making a difference. It's going to be the governments, the elitist class who's going to decide, well, where do you work and where do you go and what do you say and what you don't say, whether or not you're free or whether you're not, whether you are free, whatever, vice versa. You see what I mean?
Oh yeah. Brave new world, Aldous Huxley, here it comes.
Yeah. And I personally don't want to live in a world where I can't speak freely what's on my mind, you know? If think about it for a second. If you go into the past of, like, Nazi Germany, when there were certain individuals that were picked out of a deal, and it wasn't just that, it's in China as this very day, you know, a communist nation where, you know, you don't have rights like you do over here in the States.
Sure.
And even in the surrounding nations around the United States, even their rights are depleted a whole lot less than what the American people don't understand how fortunate they are to be in the position that they are right now.
Absolutely. You know? And I would just like to add, because you mentioned the China thing, right? You know, people think about China and so on, and you know, the growth economy and all the rest of it. You know, the West being deindustrialized to the East. Well, people don't realize that it's not the Chinese going to come up to our living standards, is it? We're going to go down to their standards.
Yeah.
And it's not a case of the people are going to benefit by this. And if you're of my opinion, and I've researched this pretty thoroughly, you know, we've got the you know, the Russians, the communists, basically being funded by the New World Order as such, you know, the power elite, and we've also had Chiang Kai-shek and Mao Zedong funded by the elite, the New World Order, whatever you want to. So you're not going to tell me that those nations aren't being controlled by you know, the New World Order. So they like to play all the sides against each other, and you know, that's effectively where we're going, is to Chinese living standards.
Well, and they figured out a way by which anybody who does dare to speak out, you can just make them sound stupid by calling them a tinfoil hat wearing conspiracy nut. And those who've been indoctrinated in school, we'll just say, oh yeah, well the TV said that they're nuts, so I'm not going to hang around those people, you know. Yeah. There's the dumbing down, man. If it weren't for people out there, even the crazies out there speaking out and saying, you know, about the government conspiracies or whatever, then everyone would be silent about anything that was bad going on in the world, and they could just run amok. But at least there's some sort of check and balance going on there, you know. If the mainstream media has to debunk the conspiracy theories, guys out there, in order to justify what they're saying on there, then that at least holds their feet to the fire to some extent. Now they have more power because they have more money and they have government backing. However, the alternative media side has actually gained a lot of ground in just the last few years alone. Would you agree with that?
Yeah. I mean, I must admit that I have a wee bit of a beam upon it about that. You know, ask anybody, what's the truth movement done? Oh, we're awakening people. Yeah, that is true. And I think it's been a great big awakening over the last few years. I think, you know, it is gathering momentum. But effectively, I don't think there's much other than that we've really done. You know, so...
Well, I agree. There's a whole lot of room for improvement. I would like to see the doggone so-called energy, free energy thing out there on the deal. I've got an idea how to do it, bringing everybody to the table and inside the same shop and just doing it, because we got everything we need to do it. And as far as starvation in the world, if we could get groups of individuals to go around and, you know, I can't obviously fly clear across the globe because financially it's not feasible for me. But if I can send somebody money that I can trust that can take them supplies on the other side of the world, if we work together networking like that to where there is no hunger in the world, because people like us have gathered other people like us who have spread out to the world and just did it, not waiting around for our government to do it. Our governments have a terrible track record. They can't get their act together. They haven't been able to do it for over a couple hundred years here in the United States.
Yeah.
And we're still out warring with other nations.
Can't or won't do it. That's the thing.
Yeah. See, yeah. If I was in charge, we wouldn't be out warring with other nations unless other nations were coming here to try to kill us, you know, and we had to defend ourselves.
Right.
I'm not talking about like closing us off to anything. I'm talking about if there's an issue, say in South Africa, where these folks need food, and so all the people that are trying to send them food, the food gets stolen by pirates before they get there. I would take my entire military force and walk that food in there and hand deliver it to them. There would be a just cause in my mind. Would you agree with that?
You're kind of breaking up there, my friend.
Oh, I'm sorry. What I'm saying is, if I was in charge of the military and there were people in a country that needed food, instead of like the people trying to send them food, And the pirates would steal the food before it ever even got to the intended people. I would take the strength of my military and walk it in and hand deliver it to them.
That would
be a just cause in my mind.
Well, they'd rather send in a £1 million missile, wouldn't they?
You'd send a drone over there, blow up the guy, in the process take out some collateral damage, some innocent individual in the wrong place at the wrong time. Where's the common sense in that? I mean, it's cheaper, I guess.
Yeah. But I'm getting a break up with you there, she says. I don't know whether...
No, it couldn't be my microphone. I've tripped over it once or twice.
Every second word is, I can't hear. Let me call off at the moment. She says, and come with that.
All right, let's take a quick music break and refresh some coffee and then refresh the call and see how that works.
That's basically what I need, my friend, yeah.
All right, everybody listening to the Knights of the Round Table, stay tuned. Peace.
Gazing through the window at the world outside, wondering will Mother Earth survive, hoping that mankind will stop abusing her sometime. After all, there's only just the two of us, and here we are still fighting.
turbo. All rise for King Shazam the Turbo and the Knights of the Round Table.
Hello, everybody. You're listening to the Knights of the Round Table, King Shaziz the Terrible, and the Honorable Knight Granada Steve, and we're having a discussion about life in general and things that we're trying to accomplish here on all these networks. You know, in order for the system of the beast out there to defeat us, it has to keep us in the belief that we are weak, that all hope is lost, that doom and gloom is all that we have to look forward to. Now, you can look out there in society and you can see things that are going on, and you can understand that on that path that we are leading down to the wrong direction. We're heading towards sure destruction. And it's our hope to take and all of us together grab a hold of the wheel of this big ship and steer it off into a different direction other than which over the falls in the barrel, so to speak. You know, because we believe in it wholeheartedly. We spend a lot of time behind the scenes doing a lot of stuff and trying to keep these people together, these wonderful hosts that we have on all these different networks, you know, 1800 Online, TCT, there's a whole long list of them. Can you think of any more on top of your head there, Steve? Because
the Dudley Island News and the Justice Radio Network, United Restrike, which you do the monthly marathon with, and I forget, there's in Awake Australia and so on. So
there's just so many of them that are individuals that have put together networks and basically brought their networks with our networks to share streams with each other and share information. And it's a pretty amazing thing when you sit back and think about what has been accomplished over all these years as far as bringing people together. Sure, we've had our ups and downs, our trials and tribulations. We've had our tears and our laughter and our joy and all that. It's been a family event of epic proportions. People from all different nations, brilliant minds, coming to the table to do shows like the Knights of the Round Table and so on and so forth. And so... Go ahead, Steve.
I just want to make a point back there. I mentioned all the different networks. I just want to make a point of the Scottish Sovereigns in the Land, which is now People for People, I believe. The newest ones that are basically simulcasting some stuff.
Can't forget them.
I just wanted to make a point. I'm sorry to interrupt you.
There's so many of them. I just can't keep up with all of them. I love them all to pieces, and what I need to do is just get me a list and put it on like one of the little intro pods or something like that, and just list them all off. Thank you to everybody out there. But the key isn't in the individual recognition of all these individuals. It is the fact that all these individuals see the need and address it, and they come together. They're not looking for fame or fortune either. They're looking for the same exact thing that we're looking for.
That's
you know?
It. Exactly.
And so we are making a difference. You know, they're making a difference. And all these little... networks and combined together, you know, there's an old saying, united we stand and divided we fall. They've tried this in the past. They've taken down small networks and other networks right after, you know, you lose one, you gain two.
yeah.
So I think they kind of gave up on trying to attack us, because every time they do, we multiply. You know, you chop us in half and you got two more to deal with now.
Absolutely, yeah. Well, that's the way to do it. Yeah. It's when they apply the force, they push you into different areas, and then they push the boundaries again, and we'll split up into different areas. I think we always find some way of getting our truth out, I think. And certainly they put an awful lot of effort into disproving the so-called conspiracies.
Well, I just want everybody to understand that it's not all about doom and gloom. And unfortunately, we do have to talk about things that are bad, because otherwise, how does people know what needs to be addressed?
Yeah.
But issues such as you know, people out there in Baltimore rioting and tearing up their own community, it's obvious that that's not going to get them anywhere. And I wish that we could bring them to the table. Sit them down at the table and say, look, you know, I understand that throughout history you guys have been, you know, messed with. There's things that have been wrong that have been done to you. But at the end of the day, we're all people. And not everybody's out to get you personally or, you know, spiritually or whatever. It's...
Yep.
We're all dealing with this in our own ways. We're all having to deal with travesties that are being perpetrated on us, you know, as people.
Yeah. I mean, to interrupt you again, you know, I've seen a comment, the Clear Angel in the chat there, and as you know, killing the blacks, and that, excuse me, you know, coming for you, you know, the white guys and whatever. You know, I respect Clear Angel's opinion on many, many issues. And she's not exactly wrong what she's saying there. But you've got to remember that this goes back centuries. You know, from my own culture, you know, they've had the Highland clearances, you know, fights, you know. The Irish famine, so-called famine, which wasn't a famine, it was basically a holocaust, to use that word. You know, there was you know, the English, or the Crown, were effectively taking the food out of Ireland and starving the Irish people. They were whites, you know. So this is not a racialist thing. And this has been going on for many, many centuries. And it's not even a religious thing. It's been going on for so long, and they've been manipulating all the different people.
There's a movie out there, I can't remember what the name of this particular movie is, but this guy's an arms dealer, and he's working both sides of the fence. He's selling guns to both sides, and, you know, he keeps the pot stirred up. You know, I'll sell guns to anybody, you know. And he said war is his best friend, because as long as people want to be killing each other, you know, he can sell all the guns and ammunition he wants. This is the point, people. Those folks of you out there who are listening and paying attention, if you never listened to anything before in your life, listen to this. If you can't sell drugs if ain't nobody sick.
Yeah.
Can't sell bullets and guns and ammunition and weapons if ain't nobody at war.
Mm-hmm.
And so somebody has to be behind the scenes stirring the pot in order to keep the black man against the white man, vice versa.
Yeah.
And if you're a family and you're raising your children as your father raised you to be a hatred towards somebody who is different than you, then you need to learn how to break that chain. Otherwise, you're going to pass that on to your children. There was a reporter that was over in Palestine, and this reporter was asking these two little Palestinian girls, Do you want peace with Israel? And so the little girl said, no, we hate Israel. They killed our mom and dad.
Mm-hmm.
But you could ask that same question to an Israeli child as well. You know, we don't like them because they killed our brothers or sisters.
Mm-hmm.
You've got to break that chain. If you want peace between Palestine and Israel or any nation out there, you got to break that chain at some point. Somebody has to come to the table and they have to say, you know, look, there were terrible things that were done, you know, by your fathers and my fathers to one another and amongst each other. We don't want to repeat that.
Yeah.
That, you know, how much more simpler can it get? I mean, it's not simple because, you know, there's anger, there's frustration, there's hate, there's discontent, you know. And the folks out there that are rioting, you know, some of them are just out there because they're just little hooligans and they want to, you know, hey, it's a free-for-all. I can smash as I can get free stuff because I'm not going to go to jail because everybody's doing it, you know.
Yeah.
If everybody's jumping off a bridge, are you going to jump as well just because?
Yeah. But, I mean, what you were saying there about, you know, it has to stop somewhere. Most of these conflicts are basically instigated not by the people who carry out whatever atrocities or the killings or whatever. They're generally misled. into the situation. And once, if you can put that to the people who are doing these things, then they realise that where it's coming from, then they have a chance of maybe turning that around. But in the world, everybody keeps believing in their values of whatever it is, for keep the conflict going, then I think we're in trouble.
Yep. Two Dog put a message in Awake Radio that says, I've been fighting since my feet hit the ground, makes me a bit tired. I agree, brother. We're all battle weary. I mean, in our own ways, I wasn't raised in a war zone per se. However, I've seen my share of war. I've seen the bullies that used to hassle me whenever I was a kid, scrawny little kid trying to make my way through the neighborhood and life. You always had somebody who would want to prey on the weaker of the individual or whatever. But has to come a time when you can't conquer the entire world, that you have to come together with your brothers and sisters out there and stand side by side, and put all the past differences, because I'm French Canadian / Cherokee, my ancestors stole my ancestors' land, and so on and so forth. So what side of the fence should I be on? Should I hate should I hate the French Canadian version or the Cherokee side? I don't have anything to gain by attacking either side. All I can tell you is that from what I've learned through my life and being raised in a family of love, that's the best go for me,
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I mean, it's back to this thing with family. We're all family, essentially. And I'm going to say something that maybe sounds a bit racialist, but I do believe in keeping bloodlines, say, like the Aboriginals in Australia, or, the Gaelics in Scotland, and so on, and keeping those cultures alive. But I also believe that people should be able to choose freely, to be with whatever colour person they want. But I think there's value in having these original cultures too, and they should be protected to some degree, I think.
Yeah, and I've said this once before, that we don't need no one world government. We need Russia to be Russia and China to be China, and Ireland to be Ireland and Scotland to be Scotland and America to be America. We need all these different individual nations and cultures. We need all these things. This is what made up humanity. People talk about America being the melting pot of the world. The world is the melting pot of the world.
Yeah.
You can go to any nation and you can find a black man and a white man. You can go to any nation and you can find people of all different backgrounds and cultures. We are the melting pot. We're all in the same boat together, and some folks like to go explore. I've been to Japan. I've stood there with the Japanese.
Well, that's what this world is about, is experiencing, different cultures, and whatever, what this world is going to provide, everyone has the experience. Now, certainly for me, I've enjoyed, I've enjoyed meeting all different types of cultures throughout the world, especially when I worked in Holland. It was a bit of a melting pot there as well, she says. we had a Serb and a Croat working next to each other in the factory, and they were deadly enemies, Spanish and Turks and Indonesians. And I'll tell you what, she says, I never had any of those cultures say anything bad about the whites, say anything really that they wanted to, they wanted to defeat us or whatever, unless they'd had some kind of killing in their family or whatever. But oh no, very, very little, very little.
Well, the whole thing in my mind is that, it's not, like you kind of mentioned this earlier, it's not the American people who are doing this kind of stuff. It's their so-called representation, their so-called governments, the corporations of the world, they're the ones out there pushing the buttons. They're the ones out there calling up your men and women to go serve their countries and tell them it's patriotic to go over and bomb another nation and lie to them about weapons of mass destruction and so on and so forth. These guys that are pulling the strings, they know exactly what they're doing. And they're going to keep the hatred between races and beliefs going, because together, if we're all gathered together, we are a force to be reckoned with. There are over 8 billion people on this planet. And you have 8 billion people up against the minority, which is the elite. They are in jeopardy. As long as they can keep pockets of hate and discontent going, keep you fighting amongst each other, they can keep on making money off of you. They can keep on selling advertisement on their mainstream media. They can keep on selling you drugs and throwing regulations on there and doing whatever they want. The whole thing about control. The only one in this world that can give anyone control over your life is you. Now, could you die for standing up for what you believe? Yeah. You know? But I personally would rather die than to put my morals aside and just start feeding the beast, you know? Taking the food out of my baby's mouth and putting it in the beast's mouth. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
But sorry. If all of us, in the numbers, stood together, you know, I'm not talking about like going out worldwide, we're going to stomp your behind kind of pitchforks and burning down things and stuff. You know, you don't burn down your own community. Somebody's got to rebuild it. And the companies, they're not going to come back into a riot-prone zone. You know? If I'm a white man and you're telling me you hate the white man, why would I want to bring my business to your community?
Yeah. Or anybody.
Yeah.
You know, because it's obviously... I mean, I watched some of that video and people were just randomly chucking some things through windows. And it wasn't for any particular reason. It was just the fact that that was in front of them.
Yeah, it was a free-for-all.
Yeah.
You know, hey, everybody else is doing it. You know, it's a party. Let's bash everything. And it's kind of like it falls back onto that whole we won the basketball game, so we go out and burn down our community thing, you know, turn over police cars and stuff.
Yeah. But I mean, we've seen so much of this kind of stuff getting instigated by the powers that be as well, you know. So, I mean, I'm not sure there's any evidence of that at Baltimore. Have you come across any of that at all?
Well, it doesn't even have to be, even though I believe that's the case. But here's a good example. When these folks are out there bashing in and rioting and burning all their doggone own community, the mainstream media, they're eating it up, man. They love it. Every time there's a tragedy, oh, look, it's terrible. Look what's going on over here. I mean, their ratings are going through the roof because everybody's tuning in to see what's going on. And the police, they don't care. I mean, it's job security. The government, they don't care. They're just more regulations, more power for the man. All you've got to do is act a fool. They'll show everybody that you are acting a fool. You think you're getting a point across, but the only thing that you're showing people is the people out there who aren't aware of why you're mad about what you're doing. They see the stupidity in you smashing a deal. They speak out against it, and suddenly you're a racist for even saying it. That's what they want. This is what the elite of the world, if you believe that there's a one world government conspiracy out there, this is exactly what they want. They're playing you like a banjo. They are playing the world like a fiddle. And every time that they want you to do anything, all they got to do is make you mad. It's that simple.
Yep.
Human nature, you're going to retaliate when you're mad. When you retaliate when you're mad, oh, look, this guy's over there, he's terrible. We got to throw him in jail. And we got to put regulations down so this never happens again. Now it's illegal for you to stand next to the road on the sidewalk because a police officer might have to get out right there.
Yeah. I mean, it was getting really bad when regulations come down to such things. Like in Ireland, I was going through some documents, and it was talking about picking flowers in somebody else's field, and you could actually get charged with theft, you know. And I mean, when we're talking about micromanaging things like this, when it's an offence to pick a flower, you know, out of it. I mean, we're not talking about a flower that's it's, you know, nearly extinct. You know, we're talking about a flower, any flower, and that you could be done for theft. And this is how much control is the control system. It is just bit by bit by bit, you know, that Fabian socialist type thing.
Yeah, you know, it's illegal to gather rainwater in some portions. You have to pay taxes on sunlight in other portions. You have to pay carbon tax in other portions. And it ought to be a red flag. It ought to be a wake-up call for the entire world. Wait a second. You know, God, my God, in my belief, provided this for all of humanity. Our Creator gave us all this. It belongs to everybody. How can you tax water? How can you... They sell water for $1 a bottle. You know, there ought to be a red flag right there. Not that I begrudge anybody making a bottle of water, $1 off a bottle of water. It's the mere fact that people think that they have to buy a bottle of water because the bottle of water that is provided to them by their local community service isn't clean to drink.
Ooh, definitely not. Yep.
You know, so we go out and tell everybody, look, your water's polluted. Buy our water. And they're getting their water out of the same tap that you're getting it out of.
Yeah, yeah. It's you're talking about the water side of things. There she is. I have a distiller. And, you know, obviously, you know, it takes all the impurities out of the water. And there is supposed to be a fresh water supply. Within about 4 litres, there's a significant... sediment in the bottom of the distiller, and within say 16 litres, yeah, there is a lot of sediment in the bottom of the distiller. And if you ever want to persuade anybody to look at the water supply, just you know, well, I take them in and show them the distiller and say that's about 16 litres that you let go through your body. And I'm getting one of those.
98% of the time, when your hot water heater in your house goes bad, it's due to calcium buildup that gets so thick on inside the element that the element's burning up inside there and can't release the heat inside the water. Hard water is basically what they call it, you know, calcium and lime buildup. But what will happen is if you get a brand new hot water heater, every so often you need to drain that hot water heater completely empty so that the calcium buildup inside there doesn't destroy that hot water heater. If you do that, if you drain it every so often, your hot water heater will last 10 times longer than it normally would. Normally, the only reason why they even go bad is because the element gets too hot and burns up and now it won't no longer heat the water, and that's because of that buildup on that element. It's basically like packing mud around that element, and the normal heat exchange, which would be the water itself, isn't making contact, and so it's just getting hotter and hotter inside there until it just finally can't take it anymore and burns up. You know, that in itself, if people saw what come out of their hot water heater, they'd understand that there's a lot of crud that is built up in there. It's not all just calcium and lime either. There's other crud, there's other minerals and stuff in there.
Well, I spoke to Walter Graham, who's a campaigner. They were trying to bring fluoride into Northern Ireland, and Walter Graham basically one man, and that just shows the people that one man can make a difference. He got a crowd of people together, went to Stormont and the government, and basically he said, oh, you know, this is where Margaret Thatcher was in part, fluoride's bad for you, poisonous, blah blah blah, and it wasn't introduced. And even though he was about 8 miles away from me, I ended up getting talking to him, and he basically had said that if you don't have fluoride in the water in Northern Ireland, but they do in the south of Ireland, and he says that there's a distinct border line of people that are getting cancer in the south and in the north, because the pipes don't obviously cross the borders, and he puts it down to that. But he was also saying that there's another substance they put in the water here that's not fluoride, but it's something like aluminium, but I'm not absolutely 100% sure. And that's what made me decide to get the distiller and get clean water. And people out there that people say, oh, they don't have distiller, there's no minerals. You know, there's no minerals in your water from the tap either. They're not good ones anyway.
Well, there's, you know, that's one of the things that it drives me insane. We're doing the best that we can just to survive under the current circumstances. And, you know, you like to think that you could just go up to the tap and get a drink of water and everything's fine, you know, but I'm thinking at some point, some of the people in third world countries have better water systems than some of the people in the supposedly higher societies. And it's crazy. You know, these folks are literally doing this to themselves and the entire community. You know, if there's a conspiracy out there that says they want to depopulate the world. I don't know whether it's true or whether it's not true. That's neither here nor there, because if they're doing it intentionally, that's bad. And if they're not doing it intentionally, they're just flat out stupid. Because if you put toxic waste inside your doggone water system to try to keep it clean or whatever, there ought to be a red flag right there from the get-go. Chlorine, fluoride, whatever. You got a toothpaste that says that if you accidentally ingest it, call poison control. That ought to be a red flag. Okay, I got this sign on there. You're saying you're putting it in my water too, and it's all for my best interest or whatever. You know, people got too much on their plate to deal with.
Yeah.
And some folks would just be pacifists and say, oh, well, it ain't killed me yet. I'll go ahead and keep on drinking it.
That's right. Yeah. Yeah. The thing is that to try and hit the important people, you know, like your dentist and so on. You know, my dentist, I told her I wanted to go get amalgam fillings taken out, and she's like, they're safe, you know. And I says, right, okay, you've got that amalgam filling in that packet, and it's saying toxic, yeah? And I says, now when you take that tooth out and put it into a disposable container, it says toxic. So at what stage is it non-toxic in your mouth? And she couldn't answer it.
Well, that's the key, man. A long time ago, there was this miracle material that withstood a lot of heat, and they called it asbestos, and it was like on the market, and it was put into houses all over. It was put into siding on houses, and years later, they finally found out that the fibers of asbestos was causing asbestosis or mesothelioma, and people, you know, were getting cancer from the stuff years later. And it's the same thing applies with all this other, you know, when are they going to finally figure out that this is probably not good for your health and remove it from the deal? As long as there's some company out there that's making a lot of money by putting their toxic waste into your toothpaste to get rid of it instead of having to dispose of it properly. You see what I'm saying, man?
Yeah.
This is why these alternative media networks are so important, because you got to put these things on the table.
Are they
doing this, or are they not doing it?
Well, this is where we've got to be proactive. And I mean, I could use simple analogies. Me, I tend to be a very simple man, or a simpleton, some people would say, but you know, don't go and use your big supermarkets. You know, don't go and buy their fluoridated toothpaste, because when you don't buy it, it ain't going to happen for them. They're not going to make any money, so they're not going to continue there. And it's difficult with vegetables and pesticides and so on, but certainly I think there's a lot of things that we could do that we do on a voluntary basis, let's say, that we could change.
Well, that's brilliant, because one of the things that people don't recognize is that when you go to the grocery store, the big supermarket, now keep in mind you are supporting their job and the employees or whatever, however, you're also supporting a system behind it. But when you go to a store, you got at the very least a 300% markup on that product. You could go down there to your local farmer and buy directly from that farmer, and save yourself a lot of money. So there's common sense right there. But I don't want to go to the farmer to get this and then to the other farmer to get that. It's all convenient. I just go to the store, so I'll pay the extra money. But in the same sense, then you want to tell everybody, you know, hey, you got to watch what you eat. You got to wash off this and do that, you know. To a lot of folks out there, it just seems to be too much effort to gather up the groceries. That's why the same thing that applies with the system of the government that everybody keeps supporting via their taxes and everything like that, they continuously support the same system that's poisoning not only their food, but their children's food and the world in general.
So this is, sorry, go ahead.
The key is, like you said, is to go around with local communities and do your buying with them. Say things that you know what they're selling you. Your local neighbor is not going to sell you poison. I mean, they kill off your only customer. You see what I mean?
Yeah. Well, this is the beauty of what we're saying about farmers' markets and things like that. And what you find when there's a market there that brings trade into the other shops in the locality too. Also, you know, trying to do something along the lines of an alternative currency, you know, like in Britain, people have heard of it. It's the Totnes pound, and that seems to be the most famous one, which is like a local currency, and it's simple terms that you're keeping that money in the local community rather than it going to somewhere out of the community. So it tends to breed prosperity in your own community to have these alternative currencies like time banking or whatever you want to call it. And there's one that they used in Britain, and it was the Bradbury Pound, and it was introduced, I think, just after the First World War, and it was there. It was used for about 20 years, which I was surprised to learn just recently. Now, this was an interest-free currency, you know, so this is not unheard of stuff, and for to use it for like a small community should be very feasible and easy to do, you know.
Yeah, and to get the best product, you need people out there competing for your business, and same thing would apply with currency. If you've got your own local currency and people are trying to compete with your currency, then they'll work a little harder at it. They'll make theirs a little bit more valuable than yours, or even a little bit purtier than yours, or whatever. You know, and that's how you get people to start acting right, you know. Don't go to the doctor who supports all the big pharmacy that's going to sell you the drug that says, you know, this is good for this right here, but it's got all these possible side effects that are probably page long, not excluding death. You know, I'd rather take my chances with natural cures than the initial disease and take some of that cred.
Yep. Yep.
And
with that, go ahead.
The vaccines is a prime example of that too, you know. I mean, if they're done right, if they're made under the proper circumstances, and you don't have all these so-called preservatives in there, you know, or whatever, and you know for a fact that the research is right or whatever, but we don't. We don't know what kind of crud they're putting in them. And when people go to get the flu shot to keep them from getting a flu shot, and then yet they get the flu, that ought to be a
yeah. When I was in hospital with the new year, one of the docs said to me, "Do you get the vaccination?" I said, "You think I'm crazy?"
Yeah. Why would I want to come to the doctor to get the flu? You know.
Yeah. And he kind of looked at me as if the guys, he never pursued it, like, so. But yeah, I mean, the question of health, you know, that is a big thing. I mean, I try and get, you know, try and put out self-dependency. And I mean, there's so many things you can do for your own health. Well, obviously, eating clean food is a big thing, you know, but there's things like colloidal silvers and many, many remedies out there. I mean, I use cayenne pepper for my circulation and honey, you know. There's just so many. And I think if people basically did a little bit of research, they could find that they could look after themselves at a much better level than they are.
Yeah, and I'd say a good place to go looking is go down and just go visit a few separate communities, like the Amish community, the Native American community. Go down and ask them some questions, because before there were pharmacies, there were Native Americans, and they had to figure out ways in order to use nature to heal themselves. And they learned a lot of stuff. They are a vast reserve of all kinds of wonderful information. You can learn some refrigeration techniques from the Amish communities. There's so many different communities out there in this world, and so many different cultures that over time have learned different ways to do stuff that don't apply to going out there to the doctor and spending about $10,000 or $15,000 to try to extend your life for an extra week or two, you know. You go out there and you learn about fresh vegetables and foods and fruits and stuff, dietary that they, you know, they did pretty well. Some of those folks back there were pretty doggone healthy, man.
Yeah. Luca Mano had a guest on his show last week or the week before, and the guy's off the grid. I can't remember his name, unfortunately. Looking at a kind of utopian vision of things. I mean, this guy had done pretty well. His house was basically self-heating. He obviously had a log fire for the winter time, solar powered and all sorts of things, his own stream, and very little costs to run the place. You know, obviously initial cost, I think he said about $30,000. That was including the land. And looking at a utopian society, though, you know, we've got houses like Earthships that you can make, you know, for buttons, really, you know, they're basically self-heating, self-cooling. You know, we have permaculture where we can grow food, which you basically just won't have to pick the food. And there's not really much in the way of maintenance concerned. You know, we've got water supplies that, you know, if they're left alone from fracking and things like that, would be, you know, wouldn't need cleaned, if you like, or a little cleaner. There is so much we could do in the energy fields, as you know about, that, you know, we could have, you know, water powered cars, hydrogen powered cars like Stan Myers or Stirling engines or that. So that, looking at a little bit of a utopian view of things, you know, if you had all those things, imagine what your life would be like.
Well, yeah, and, you know, like I said, the world isn't all negative. You can find a lot of good in the world if you look. And you can find a lot of solutions out there in the world if you look. And it's you, the listener out there, that needs to make your life better. You can't rely on other individuals, entities such as government agencies or corporations to look out for your best interest. Sure, they're going to smile in your face and promise you the sun and the moon. And, you know, you'll fall for it and give them what they want, and then you get what you got. But doing a little bit of research into what you're eating and what you're doing and stuff like that, you got to run out into the world and shout to the world the sky is falling, but you could help educate the individual that might be taking in poison that they shouldn't be taking in, and just show them in a respectful manner, look, hey, this is where this stuff actually came from, and then you're putting that in your mouth. Did you read the label on the side of that? Some folks out there in the world just don't care, Steve. They'd rather, I seen a comment earlier talk about rather watch like Dancing with the Stars or something like that. You know, who wants to be a millionaire? But the problem is, you know, those folks that don't care, they don't know, literally.
Yeah.
They live in ignorance, and if the society was to ever collapse, those would be the individuals that would be the ones kicking your door and trying to get your food or whatever, you know? And so, in order to try to steer that away into a different direction before it ever even gets that far, you need to start educating your friends and your family and your neighbors, just showing them things. Every time you see them, make it a learning experience. And maybe they won't even want to come around to you anymore because they'll figure like it's like going to school, you know?
Yeah. Oh, that's typical of you.
Yeah.
You can't wait to get out the door sometimes. Yeah,
yeah, this guy talks too much. I don't care about free energy. It's all he ever talks about. I want to go home and watch Dance with the Stars.
Yeah, but you have little seeds that get there sometimes. I mean, my ex-partner, I'd give her my view of things previously. And it's kind of, he's a looper, you know what I mean? Nutcase. But she didn't really say that, but that's the kind of general attitude that you get back, isn't it? But eventually I did sit there, little bits and pieces, and there was little seats. And I says to her, look, what do you know about money? And she says, well, we spend it, you know, every day, you know. I says, right, do you ever think where money comes from? And she's like, yeah. I says, well, do you think the country produces the money, or do you think the banks produce the money? And she says, the country produces the money. And I says, well, would you be surprised to know that the banks produce the money, and it's not the country? So they get the benefit of printing the free money, and not the country. So tell me, who runs the show? And once that penny had dropped with her, she realised that what I'd been saying was true. I mean, all of it, but on the most part, she realised there's something to this. And since that point, that I've showed her a few other things, and she's absolutely certain now that, yeah, there's something not quite right. And she's a bit scared, like, the usual people are starting to find this stuff out. But she's got a grasp of it now.
Well, it's funny you said that, because there's been episodes where, you know, I had mentioned things to people in the past and basically planted that seed, and then later on they'd be coming by and we'd have a conversation. They'd be saying, wow, did you know about, and then they'd start telling me about what I told them about years ago, right? And so as if it was their own idea, and I just jump into conversation, wow, you know, that's interesting. I already knew about it, but the deal was I planted the seed without them even knowing I did it, and yeah. You know, and they got them to looking. You know, I don't want to scare the world. All I want them is to pay attention. Thomas Jefferson said the price to freedom is eternal vigilance, and there's a lot to be said about that. If you ain't paying attention to what's going on, you know, I kind of liken all of us folks here on these networks to being like the sheep that's standing outside at the back of the cave there, you know, and the doggone wolf is saying, hey, let's come on inside and have some dinner, you know? And you and I is kind of standing back and saying, wait, hold on a second, guys. You know, he did say we're going to go have dinner, but what he didn't say was, who's on the menu? You know?
Yeah.
Let's clarify this with the man before we go up in there, you know?
This is the thing. You know, people have to become self-dependent, I think.
Yeah.
You know, we mean the nanny state, I suppose. And I think that's going to be, a generational thing, I think. And I think that we're of the generation, I notice that a lot of people who are in the alternative media and the truth movement are around about the 50s age. And, I genuinely believe that we're the last generation that can turn this around.
I believe so as well, because if you look at the just the college kids these days and ask them a few questions, you'll find out that they don't have the answers like they used to have back in the day when you and I were younger and people were coming out of college or high school or whatever. And there's some individuals that can't even read. And so if society has deteriorated to the point where now you don't have the kids come and graduate from school that are free thinkers and you know, question, you know, the stuff, then those are the folks that are just going to fall in line, you know. Those are the folks you see out there holding up the sign saying, you know, if you want peace, I want justice, you know. It's sad, but yeah. You're right. We are probably the last generation that can do anything about it.
Yeah, I think so.
That's a heavy burden, brother.
Well, I mean, I do it for you know, obviously people, but I also do it for, as I said before, family, because I want my son, and I want everybody to have a better life than what we have. It's as simple as that, you know.
Well, you know, I've told people this many times, I've seen things that no man or woman should ever have to see, you know. I've stood next to individuals on their deathbed many a times. I've carried many a caskets to many a graves. And I've seen so many things in my life that I don't wish upon anybody or even my worst enemy for that matter. And once you see that, once you witness or hear the information that all of us have been, you know, down the rabbit hole to see, it's almost as if you can't turn back, you know. How do you erase that from your head? How do you just move on and just say, oh, whatever's going to happen, happens, you know. You can't. If you got any kind of love in your heart and you care about your family and your children, you can't.
Yeah, you can't. That's absolutely right. I mean, when you see things with the eyes that we see them, and you see the heart that's going on, and when I hear you open your heart many, many times, just as, you know, it is just so heartbreaking, and you realize that people harm themselves by not really. What's the word I'm trying to find here? You know, they will be preyed upon, and if you don't realize that you are getting preyed upon, you'll just be get abused. And it's as simple as that. And I think people have got to realize that things are not all rosy, and you know, they're being sold for the good of them. It's they are being preyed upon. We're not at the top of the food chain, as we might think.
Yeah, I think about my mother in the city. She lives down in the city in an apartment complex, and I think about, you know, she's up there in her years, and
I'm feedback there, Steve.
Testing.
One, two.
Yeah, I'm still here.
I'm hearing myself. I don't know how this is happening.
I don't know. I've not got the player on him.
Anyway, like I said, I see my mom living with that.
Do you want to just try a quick recall? Just cut off and then come back on again?
Alright, cool.
Okay.
You're listening to the Knights of the Round Table. I'm getting feedback somehow. Don't know how it's happening.
Okay, I'm
back. Alright, I don't hear myself now. Modern technology, gotta love it. Anyway, like I was saying, she's up here in her age and she lives down here in the city, and I think about if something like what's occurring over there in Boston, or not Boston, Baltimore, was occurring in her neighborhood, you know, how would I protect her? I live an hour away from where she lives, and, you know, those kind of things, you know, are in your mind all the time. You worry about your loved ones across the way. And you wish that the people that were around her were educated enough to take care of one another, you know?
Mm. Yeah. Well, that issue that you're talking about, the issues, is something that I've pondered, you know, a long time. And people in cities, when that scenario hits the fan, you know, I really don't have any answers. I really don't. I would say people get out of the cities now, and I've always said that, because I really think that you're in hiding and nothing there.
Well, if she was wanting to come out here and live with me, I'd bring her here. I'd bring all my family. I'd bring all my friends from around the world. Heck, if I could squeeze this all into one little 12-acre plot, you know, I'd do it. Because, you know, I'm sitting here watching the world go down the same path that, you know, I keep dreaming about all the time, and it's scary. I don't want to see that happen to nobody. So I'm shouting all four points of the compass the best way I can, you know. Hey, wake up, take a look over there, you know. I'm not trying to be the doomsday, or I'm not trying to be the doom and gloom. I hate negativity. I mean, you know, I'm like a sponge. When I'm around things that are negative, I feel negative.
Sure. But I mean, looking at things, you know, in a light, you know, an objective light, you know, I could see where I am in the country, and I realise that things are still pretty horrendous, but I'm kind of shielded a little bit from it. You know, my main biggest city nearest to me is maybe 30 miles away. And that doesn't mean you say there's not going to be trouble elsewhere. But if you're in a city of maybe a couple of million or something like that, what do you do when you know that scenario arrives? As the case is, you have to either have people that are working together to protect each other and work together to feed each other and so on. And I really don't always believe in the attitude that it's always going to be highly violent and that type of thing, tribal. I'm not always of that mind, because I do believe inherently men and women are good inside. And unfortunately, we have a lot of conditioning that makes people not like that. But inherently, I think most people are good.
And I agree. Let me see if I can try to mute something for a second. I think that society needs to get together and actually, you know, start saying hi to their neighbors, start learning things about one another and talking about situations that could arise, you know. What would we do in this certain instance, you know, as a community, and making things better that way. And then whenever, if something did happen, you know, in most cases, if you look at any tragedy that goes on, there's people that rush up out of the heroes that come out of the woodworks, and they pitch in and they help one another out. And it's sad that it takes a tragedy to bring a community together when it's not necessary to do it like that. You know what I mean? Are you still there?
Muted. Yeah, it usually takes something like a tragedy or a mishap or something like that to bring that kind of spirit out of people. I mean, I'll use the example of maybe somebody who gets run over and they're trapped under a car. You know, people will run over and lift the car so that you can get the person out from underneath it. And then they'll walk away as if nothing happened, you know. It's okay, it's just part of the day. But that's how people are. They're willing to help and do something in a distressed situation, if you like.
I think in my own personal community, I'd be just fine, because I've got connections with my neighbors and they know me and I know them, and they've got good hearts. And so I'm pretty much on this side of the deal okay, but I wish that for everybody else out there would basically be able to have that comfort as well. And so in order to build that network, you need to build that network before something bad happens, to get out there and know your neighbors and find out what they need, and, you know, if they have any special needs or anything like that. You know what I mean?
Yeah, that's a real great point. You know, you have to do something before this happens. You know, it's too late. Not really too late when it happens. But yeah, I'd absolutely agree with that. Knowing your neighbours, I have a farmer, a neighbour there, and he's great. You know, I've needed a couple of things done with the tractor and so on. And the wave comes round and not a problem, you know, it's great. And I have a few other neighbours off in the distance, and he come and fitted some windows and I needed some glass for, you know, making greenhouse. And there's glass there, not a problem. And, you know, so knowing your neighbours is essential, really, to be honest.
Well, I agree, and you hit on another key point, is there's a lot of neighbors out there that have skill sets that it would be a benefit in a worst-case scenario. You know, you got an electrician in your neighborhood somewhere, you got a plumber, you know, and all you guys getting together, maybe make your community group and say, you know, this is just a worst-case scenario. You know, we kind of look in on each other and see if anybody needs any help, and we just plan that if something goes wrong, we'll help each other out. That's the kind of networking we're talking about. That's and we can do that across international boundaries as well with all these networks, you know, giving each other the ideas such as what we do on alternative energy shows and medicines and stuff like that. So I think that far as most things go, the folks that listen to this show, you know, outside of maybe some new listeners, and even them would benefit with all the information that we've shared with them, because now they've got thoughts in their head that, you know, there are other options out there, other food sources in your own environment. You know, there was a good show out about foraging in your own neighborhood and stuff like that, knowing what's safe to eat around you. Knowing different alternative medicines and energy deals and such like that. So I think, you know, what we're doing, we need to keep doing. Keep the ball rolling, so to speak. What do you think?
Yeah, yeah. Well, I mean, trying to keep the solution-based thing is a priority, I think. And, you know, it's I always spoke about the farmer next door to me when I first moved up the small home. And he'd had that I'd fix cars, and he'd come round and he'd say, "I've got a problem with my car," and I said, "Right, I'll fix that in a couple of minutes for you," and I fixed it. And "How much is that?" I said, "That doesn't matter, because it's okay." A good friendly neighbourly gesture. And from that point onwards, we've gotten like a house. And I think that's how we have to be a little bit. We can't always be mercenary in the sense of looking for the mighty dollar or the mighty pound. I think you've got to really want to help, you know, people around you too. And that most people are willing to help you to some degree, but it takes a lot of us to do it, I think.
Yeah, and you know what's also cool about this scenario we're talking about is you worked on your friend's car because you knew how to do it, and then I've had this happen to me before. You know, I've done things to help somebody out and then forgot all about it, and, you know, maybe weeks, months later or whatever, somebody shows up to the door with some, you know, a cake or some fruits or vegetables and saying, "Hey, you remember when you helped me out back in the day? This is just kind of a little thank you, you know. Sorry it took so long to get here." But it's just cool to know that there are people out there that they recognize your efforts and they want to try to help you out. And I'm not saying that people need to go out there and do things just so that other people, you know, will owe you that kind of thing like that. It's not about that. It's about that, you know, when you help people out of the goodness of your heart and just forget it, you know, it comes back to you. It always does.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I had a customer when I had my business, and it was a taxi company. And the long and the short of it is that I didn't really like doing taxis, because when they broke down at 12 o'clock at night, you know, they were losing money. So I would really take one taxi company on. And I took this gentleman on, and we've become great friends over the years. But he was the only customer I had that every year come Christmas, there was always money there at Christmas, because he appreciated the times that, you know, that I got myself out of it. Bed because it was 1 o'clock in the morning or whatever the case may be. And even though now my health obviously being what it is, I don't work on cars anymore, but every now and then he'll come up to the house and have a bit of crack, and there you go, there's a bit of deer meat. You know, I want to do venison, you know. And you know, because he goes shooting, and he last year I think he took his first deer down, and he came up and he said, that's really good meat. He said, that's the good part of whatever the deal was, you know. So it gives you an idea that things do, you know, it's not about payback. It's just doing the right thing at the time and respecting each other, you know.
Yeah, if we could get the entirety of the world to think along those lines about helping one another out, you know, I mean, like you said earlier, I'm a firm believer as well that the majority of the individuals out there in this world are good-hearted souls that would give you the shirt off their back and help you in time of need. And so maybe a lot of these doomsday scenarios probably wouldn't be the way it comes down. Maybe if all heck broke loose, maybe everybody would behave themselves and take care of one another. But, you know, on the off chance that everything just goes totally, completely awry, it would be a wise choice to have your own personal communities. You know your neighbors, know your friends, have some sort of plans in place or whatever, and raise your children the way you were raised, with respect for one another. And if you weren't raised with respect for one another, then break that chain and start raising your children the way that you think that the world should be, as opposed to the way it is. And I think at a ground level, that, you know, over 8 billion people on this planet right now, at a ground level, we outnumber the bad in this world by the billions. And, you know, it's time to stand up. It's time to you know, do the right thing for your family and yourself and your neighbors, and, you know, start showing these folks up there at the top, we don't need your system. We got one of our own, and it works better. What do you think, Steve?
Well, valid point again there, you know, breaking the chain. I mean, how many times have you said that in the show, and in a different way? You know, it's it really is about breaking the chain, isn't it?
Yep.
And you know, realizing that we've all been manipulated, you know, all of us, you know, and it's a case of, if we can realize that manipulation and start trying to do things for each another's benefit, then I think we can break the chain in that direction.
I agree. You ready to take a quick music break and refresh and come back and polish off this show?
That would be absolutely brilliant. Yeah.
All right, everybody, stay tuned. You've been listening to the Knights of the Round Table. Peace and love. Here's some tunes for you.
What is the dream? The dream is to bring brilliant minds from every nation together to solve the world's problems, one positive pebble at a time. It will be we, the people of the world, that bring about true change, peace, and love to all. Governments never solve any problem, only create them. Wars, starvation, sickness, oppression, financial slavery, death and destruction is what governments do best. When all the military might of nations is used to destroy other nations, the question has to be asked, why not use that military strength for good? Feed the hungry, shelter the homeless, heal the sick, and so forth. True representation of truth, freedom, and justice comes from we the people, and it never came from slick-talking politicians that say whatever they have to get elected, and then regulate away your freedoms. There is no reason to have starving babies in the world of today. Yet, it goes on. There's no reason for wars and sickness, yet it continues. We as the people must stop feeding that beast that is eating humanity alive. We the people of all nations have the power to bring about a literal heaven on earth. You as an individual have more power than you can possibly imagine. You have the power of the spoken word. You have the power of the pen. The power of action, and most of all, the power of love. It is time to use this power to make our world a better place. We are the founding fathers, mothers, sisters, and brothers of our children, and of our children's children's future. Into the future and beyond, what we do today will define the world that they live in tomorrow. Let us, from every nation, come together and make that future a great one.
heavens above, more than just a passing glance. And when you get the choice to sit it out or dance, I hope you do. Ocean. Whenever one door closes, I hope one more opens. Promise me that you'll give faith a fighting chance. And when you get the choice to sit it out or dance.
Everybody, you're listening to the Knights of the Round Table. We're trying to add Matthew up in the call. I couldn't find him in my contact deal there. I don't know what's going on. Oh, okay, I was looking in the wrong deal. I know where he's at now. Anyway, that song, I Hope You Dance, I hope that y'all kind of listen to that. It's got a good message. What we're hoping for people to understand is that life isn't all about negativity. And there's a lot of terrible things going in the world that need to be addressed. But we don't want you to stop living your life. We don't want you to live your life in fear and all that kind of stuff. None of us is guaranteed tomorrow. None of us is guaranteed that our friends and our family are going to be around. A lot of times we find ourselves taking for granted that those that we love and those that we care about are always going to be here. And in an instant, you know, things can go bad and go terribly wrong, and we can not have them individuals around anymore. And so with that said, I'm saying that to all you folks out there, don't feel like, you know, that the world is totally hopeless. Did you get him in here?
He did.
Yeah.
Hold on. Let me finish this thought. Don't feel like the world is hopeless. Think about all the good things in this life. Think about all the positivity in this life, and get out there and live life. But at the same sense, don't close your eyes to all the possibilities of things that could go wrong. You know, and that's about the best advice I can give. What do you guys think? Anybody?
I just jumped in into the conversation, but I do believe everybody's eyes need to be opened up. I believe we had a couple of eyes.
Yeah, getting some terrible feedback.
And your videos on the friend, it would be help if you drop the video.
There you go.
Do-do-do-do-do. Try it now. Yeah, go ahead.
I was just saying, I believe there's been a cloak pulled over everybody's eyes, and that there's more resources and abundance than we're led to believe.
Well, and we believe that as well, and we believe that, we've been given such an amazing gift, and actually, I kind of feel honored at the same kind of disturbed that I'm here at in this specific time and space or whatever. You know, it's a burden to know a lot of things, but yet, you know, I'm having a trouble finding the right words. You know, we're in an amazing time of experience. We're in an amazing time of discovery. We're the founding fathers, the mothers, the sisters, the brothers of our children and our children's children's future. And what we do today will define the world that they live in tomorrow. That's a big responsibility. But it's not with that. It's not beyond our capability. Otherwise, I don't believe in coincidences. I don't believe that we would be here and now, if it wasn't a purpose for us to be saying the things that we're saying, to communicate to the world, to people across international boundaries, that there is hope in this world, that there is goodness, that there we have all the resources we need to solve all the issues of this world. What do you think?
I'm trying to learn it all myself.
That's a lot to go through.
To be honest with you, I'm experimenting every day because I'm just afraid when the time comes and they cut us off of everything.
Well, you know what? Me and Steve were talking about how to ensure that they can't cut us off of everything by building local communities. You know, you got friends in your neighborhood, get them together, have discussions. What if this was to occur? What could we do to sustain ourselves? You know, how could we communicate to one another? How could we watch each other's back? That's the key. That's the whole key to networking.
Amen. Amen. Like I was just telling you, the reason I didn't get onto the show earlier this morning, neighbor came over. We just had some new neighbors move in, and they needed some help with some furniture, so you know, I felt obligated to go over there and help them.
Well, that's a good thing. See, that's what we're talking about. Something as simple as getting to know your neighbors, you know, helping them out. You know, you got neighbors that have skill sets, and you got skill sets. In worst case scenario, you know, you got a plumber in your neighborhood, you got an electrician, and I'm not saying that you do things for folks for want of return, you know, I did this for you, so you owe me, that kind of thing. Just helping each other out, and it seems to be, and I'm sure Steve,
goes around,
you both,
goes around.
Yeah.
Karma, I believe in karma, good karma and bad karma. You get what you put into it.
Well, I agree. What are your thoughts, Steve?
Yeah, well, the paying it forward thing, I tend to like to do that. And I've actually found, like I explained earlier, and maybe for Matthew's benefit, I used to have no, you know, car mechanic, I had no business. And a lot of times that somebody would come in and would say, I've got a blown bulb or something, like a very simple thing. And I would get a second-hand bulb, stick it in for them. So there you go, well, you know, some house. You know, thinking that you're going to get somebody to come back to use your services because you've done that small thing. Or, they'll done it, they'd go, thanks very much, and away they go. And then you would probably get a return custom. Or the other end of the scale is you would probably say, there's a fiver or a tenner for the job, which is probably way more than I would have charged for doing the job. So I kind of used that technique a little bit when I had my business, not because I was a mercenary, but I genuinely felt that, you know, silly things like putting a bulb in for somebody was nothing, you know, and you know, it was worth the good deed to maybe get them to come back again.
Well, I think that's what makes this world, that's the light at the end of the tunnel. That is the hope that everybody needs out there. is that somebody who you may or may not know, just out of goodness of your heart, just does something. And that pay it forward thing, I kind of like that, because, you know, to walk into a store and have a few extra bucks after you paid for your purchase and just leave that on the counter and tell the lady at the counter, you know, hey, you help those folks out behind me with whatever you can with that deal. That starts off a chain reaction, you know, or going in and paying for somebody's food and walking out and they don't know who did it, you know, they just know that somebody, some total stranger just came in and paid for their food. You know, that sends out a chain reaction, a good ripple into the world as far as I'm concerned.
Here's another thing, too. Sorry to cut you short, just this. Me and Brandy, we were down at McDonald's, I said about 2 months ago. And it was kind of chilly out, right? And I see a gentleman over in the Kmart parking lot wandering. And it's cold outside, and you can tell that he's not, you know, your typical individual, that he was homeless. So we drove up to him, and I asked him if I could help him out. And he just looked at me and wondered. And I was like, you know what? I was like, hop in the car. And he just looks at me all weird. And, you know, I typically wouldn't do that, but, you know, I'm pretty secure with myself. And so I knew my family was all right. But we pulled up to the Holiday Inn, and I went and rented them a room. And this gentleman did not know how to act. And it's just like I'm saying, for the I think it was like $35 for a night. I mean, this gentleman got a clean shower. He had a roof over his head, and he didn't have to sleep in the cold. And that just made me feel good. And, you know, that was just $30 out of my pocket, and it really didn't mean anything, because I don't think money has anything to do with anything in this world.
It meant a lot, though. It really did. It meant a lot. Even if it was only for a short period of time, at least he had some sense of humanity, and his apprehension as far as, you know, want to accept any kind of help was the fact that we've been taught throughout the last few years of our lives, as far as I'm concerned, that you got to be afraid of the homeless man. You got to be afraid of the hitchhiker, you know. And if you feed the homeless man, or if you give the homeless man money, he's just gonna go buy drugs and alcohol or something like that. But the fact is, it ain't nobody's right to judge nobody. Maybe that dude is going to go buy alcohol. But the fact is, maybe that's the only bit of comfort that he's going to have, the only bit of help that he has from anybody, any fellow human. When people fall through the cracks of society like that, it's our duty, as far as I'm concerned, because you are your brother's keeper. I feel like you should be reaching down in that crack and lifting them up, you know, bringing them back up to society. You see what I'm saying?
Yep. And if you can find some work for them, give them some work. I mean, I've helped a lot of people out in my days. I mean, I'm only 32. I'm still young and learning. But I see poverty everywhere, and anywhere that I can try to help the hand in, I'll try. I do stuff down at the church. We do the nursery for the little children and stuff like that. But, you know, whatever I can put my hand in, that's what I try to do. And now I'm trying to learn this alternative energy stuff. And it's so fascinating, and I'm overwhelmed by it. I'm trying to learn too much at once, and it's just boggling.
Well, just enjoy the experience of discovery, you know. The whole thing, and hearing your stories and Steve's stories of things that you've done and helped people out, that gives me some sort of hope in my discouragement of the whole knowledge, to knowing that we've been provided such a wonderful gift of this beautiful planet and all the vast resources, and the fact that we even have to talk about somebody being homeless or starving sickens me. You know, we need to come together, not under some one world government or some one world religion, but under some one world idea, such as you going out there giving that man a motel room so he could have some dignity and a shower and feel human. You see what I mean? There's
exactly.
Your true power.
And, you know, he had a cold shower, warm shower, roof over his head, and didn't have to worry about being cold that night.
Could I make a comment?
I thought that I did a good
job. Go ahead, Steve.
Could I make a comment? You said about, you know, giving money to the homeless and whatever. I don't know if you've seen a clip that was put up there, a video that was put up there by Alan Taylor Shearer, maybe a few months back. And it was a homeless guy or a I think an alcoholic or whatever, and basically the guy filmed and giving them money. I think it was $100 or something like that. And when they filmed them after they gave them money, expect them to go into the grocery store and go and buy beer and the rest of it, in which they duly did go into the grocery store. and he come out with his police badge, you know. And then he headed over to the park and started handing out food to all the other homeless people that were there, you know. And the guy actually went back in and they gave him more money, I think, because of his good deed. So, you know, the guy, you know, he didn't go and buy beer, and so he went and helped people with it.
Well, if you can find a link to that video, I will post that here on ShazizRadio.com, because those are the kind of stories that I'm talking about. That's what I want. That's what I want to hear. I want to hear stuff like that because, man, the guy could have done, just like he said, he could have went in and bought some beer or whatever in his own needs, but the first thing that he thought about when that money hit his hand was not his own self, but his friends out there in the homeless community, and went out to distribute that to help them out. And to me, that is the true meaning of humanity, you know. Even in your worst, you're still in your best, that kind of deal. There is hope for mankind. Well, guys, we're down to the wire down there. So if you got something really quick you want to say, a message to the world, go ahead. Who wants to go first?
Peace and love to all, man. You know, all need to come together and unite. If we come together as a whole, we ain't got to worry about that wicked 1%, because it's more of us than them.
That's it. What about you, Steve?
I'd like to thank Matthew for what he was saying that he did there for that homeless person. You know, that's massive. And if there was many more people like you, then, you know, I think it would be a much better world. I think really it comes down to, we've all got to help each other. Doesn't matter what religion, what colour. We're all getting picked on, as you've said. And I really think it's time for us to try and really create some kind of future for ourselves. And thanks for having me on, Shazizz, really.
Oh, brother, it's my honor that you come on here. It's my honor that Matthew comes on here. I feel honored and you guys even take the time out of your life to try to do what it is that I'm doing and talk with me and the people that's listening out here. I'm humbled by the experience, you know, and I'm just honored that you guys want to become, you know, be part of the Knights of the Round Table and try to put some common sense out to the world and some good information and stuff like that. This whole deal isn't about one or two of any of us becoming fancy, famous, or rich, or, you know, the whole King Shazizz the Terrible. That's a, you know, pretty much a spoof. I'm not king of nothing. I'm just a crazy, wild-haired, mad science guy that sees that we could have the world a better way, and that's what I want. And so the fact that you guys spend that time with me to do that, it's my honor.
100% Shazizz. 100%, man. Because I feel the same way. I believe our society could help one another out with our gifts. Instead of with this society that we've created.
I agree. We have the answers. We have the solutions. And we're going to run it over here. So apologize to the next host in line. But some things just need to be said. You know, all the doomsdays and conspiracies, the speculations of what will come to pass, you know, all you got to do is sit back and look and see what the path that humanity's on, and if you are interested in steering humanity away from such deals to give them the ideas and plant the seeds for the future of humanity, now's the time to do it. You are living in that time zone. Now is the time, if you can sing like an angel, to get up and do so, because the world needs you, and it needs you bad. And so with that said, you've been listening to the Knights of the Round Table. Peace and love to everybody. Take care.
Old woman, what knight lives in that castle over there?
I'm 37.
What?
I'm 37. I'm not old.
Well, I can't just call you ma'am.
You could say Dennis.
I didn't know you were called Dennis.
Well, you didn't bother to find out, did you?
I did say sorry about the old woman, but from behind you looked...
What I object to is you automatically treat me like an inferior.
Well, I am king.
Oh, king, eh? Very nice.
And how'd you get that, eh?
By exploiting the workers. By hanging on to outdated imperialist dogma, which perpetuates the economic and social differences in our society. If there's ever going to be any progress...
Dennis, there's some lovely filth down here. Oh, how'd you do?
How do you do, good lady? I'm Arthur, King of the Britons. Whose castle is that?
King of the who?
The Britons.
Who are the Britons?
Well, we all are. We are all Britons. And I am your king.
I didn't know we had a king. I thought we were an autonomous collective.
You're fooling yourself. We're living in a dictatorship. A self-perpetuating autocracy in which the working classes...
Oh, there you go, bringing class into it again.
That's what it's all about. If only people would...
Please, please, good people. I am in haste. Who lives in that castle?
No one lives there.
Then who is your lord?
We don't have a lord.
What? I told you, we're an anarcho-syndicalist commune. We take it in turns to act as a sort of executive officer for the week.
Yes.
But all the decisions of that officer have to be ratified at a special bi-weekly meeting.
Yes, I see.
By a simple majority in the case of purely internal affairs.
Be quiet.
But by a two-thirds majority in the case of more...
Be quiet. I order you to be quiet.
Order? Who does he think he is?
I am your king.
Well, I didn't vote for you.
You don't vote for kings.
Well, how'd you become king then?
The Lady of the Lake, her arm clad in the purest shimmering samite, held aloft Excalibur from the bosom of the water, signifying by divine providence that I, Arthur, was to carry Excalibur. That is why I'm your king.
Listen, strange women lying in ponds, distributing swords is no basis for a system of government. Supreme executive power derives from a mandate from the masses, not from some farcical aquatic ceremony.
Be quiet!
But you can't expect to wield supreme executive power just because some watery tart threw a sword at you.
Shut up!
I mean, if I went round saying I was an emperor just because some moistened bint had lobbed a scimitar at me, they'd put me away.
Shut up! Will you shut up?
Ah, now we see the violence inherent in the system.
Shut up!
Oh, come and see the violence inherent in the system! Help! Help! I'm being repressed!
Bloody peasant!
Oh, what a giveaway. Did you hear that? Did you hear that, eh? That's what I'm on about. Did you see him repressing me? You saw it, didn't you?
Camelot.
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 It's only a model.
Shh. Knights, I bid you welcome to your new home. Let us ride to Camelot.
We're knights of the round table. We dance whenever we're able. We do routines to call the scenes to put work in bed cable. We dine well here in Camelot. We eat ham and jam and spam a lot. We're knights of the round table. Our shows are more mid-able. The many times we give and rhyme that are quite unsingable. We're rock and mad in Camelot. We sing from the dire Camelot.
I have to push the pram a lot.
No, on second thoughts, let's not go to Camelot. It is a silly place.
Right.
Favor the table and the knights of the round table.